I'm going to ask you to turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 5. If you pay any attention to the bulletin, and if you pay any attention to the sermon titles that are in the bulletin, don't pay any attention to the one that was in the bulletin this morning concerning tonight. Because I just got to thinking, you know, after I had given Justin the sermon title for tonight, and he had it in the bulletin and everything else, and then later I thought, you know, that's not going to be a good one for tonight after hearing Joan play. I thought Ephesians 5 sounds like a good place to go. The verses we read earlier there in verses 18 through 21, as you read those verses, there's really one main verse in those four verses. You know, that's a unit, those four verses. And the one main verse is a command: be filled with the Spirit. That's the main verb. That's the main thought in these four verses: be filled with the Spirit. And it is a command. The rest of those verses, and I don't mean to get grammatically technical on you, but I think this is important to understand. The rest of those verses are all, there's five participles. Well, what's a participle? Well, a present participle that's used in those five, or in those remaining verses, those five participles, it's simply action that takes place simultaneously to the main verb. The main verb, be filled with the Spirit. The results of being filled with the Spirit are represented by those five participles in those other verses. It's not telling us how to be filled with the Spirit. It's telling us the results of being filled with the Spirit. So if we're filled with the Spirit, if we obey the command, be filled with the Spirit, then we're going to be speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're going to be singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. We're going to be giving thanks always for all things unto God. And we're going to be submitting ourselves one to another. That's the five participles that are a result of obeying the command of being filled with the Spirit. Now we know that being filled with the Spirit is the idea of being yielded to the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. It says don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. There's making a kind of a comparison there in the sense of when you're drunk with wine, when you're drunk with alcohol, you are controlled by that alcohol. And he says, don't be controlled by alcohol, but rather be controlled by the Spirit. Don't be filled with alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. And the idea here is that as you yield yourself to alcohol, instead yield yourself to the Spirit. Now, if you yield yourself to alcohol and you start drinking it and you give yourself to it, you're going to get drunk. In the same way, he says, yield yourself to the Spirit, give yourself to the Spirit, surrender yourself to the Spirit, and be filled or be drunk with the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit. If we are controlled by the Spirit, those five participles are going to be true in our lives. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always in all things, submitting yourselves one to another. So let's look at those five thoughts just for these few minutes. I see in those five thoughts, first of all, among whom do we sing? It says, speaking to yourselves or speaking among yourselves. The word speaking here is simply a word, the root word means to make a noise, to make a sound. It's used with reference to animal sounds. It's used with reference to musical instruments. It's just a general sense of making a noise. And here it's being used in a general sense of making musical noise. Some of us are good at making a musical noise. It may be hard to call it singing, but we make a musical noise. And so it's just a very general term. It's just simply saying that as you make music, you do it among yourselves. speaking to yourselves or among yourselves. In other words, I believe the thought is this. When it comes to Spirit-filled music, it's about the edification of believers. It's not primarily about evangelism. Don't misunderstand me here. It's not primarily about evangelism. It's primarily about edification, the edification of the believers. Now, where I say don't misunderstand me, that's not to say God can't use music in evangelism. That doesn't mean that an unsaved person can't come into our church service and have that music really impact them. But primarily, Spirit-filled music is about the edification of one another. As we sing among ourselves, or as it says here, speaking, or simply making music among ourselves, it's for the edification of us as believers. And we ought to be concerned about one another. We ought to be concerned about edifying one another. And music is a great way to edify one another. And he says, if you're a Spirit-filled believer, you're going to be concerned about making music that edifies your fellow believers. He speaks of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sometimes you maybe have heard people try to make a real sharp distinction between those three thoughts, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In Scripture, there's not always a real sharp distinction between those three words. It's forms of music, but there's not always. In fact, at the Last Supper, and when we have our communion service, we read it often. It says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The word hymn there is the same word translated hymn here. And yet we know at the Last Supper, which was part of the Passover meal, they would sing the Psalms. So there in Matthew where it says, it's translated for us, and even the Greek word is this word hymn. Actually, the Greek word is hymnos. So it's where we get our English word hymn from. The word hymn is used, but it's referring to a psalm that they sang. So there's not a sharp distinction between a hymn and a psalm necessarily. And then spiritual songs, it's simply a song that has to do with the Spirit. A psalm can be a song that has to do with the Spirit. And so there's not always a sharp distinction. If we want to make a sharp distinction, I suppose we could say that the psalms here would be the Old Testament psalms. The hymns would be particularly praises to God. And then the spiritual songs would be more of a testimony of our spiritual lives, whether it be salvation or whether it be growth in our spiritual lives, or simply a testimony of what God means to us. And so you have the psalms, the Old Testament psalms, you have the hymns that are more specifically praises directed to God, and then you have the spiritual songs that are more testimony. If we want to make those distinctions, that's fine. Not always a clear distinction in Scripture in that way, but certainly all three of those types of songs are very appropriate. We sing the psalms. We sing hymns that are direct praises to God. We sing spiritual songs that have to do more with our testimony of what God means to us and what He's done for us. And certainly, they are all very appropriate. And we ought to be making that music among ourselves for edification. Then he says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The word speaking, as we said, it's just kind of a general term of musical noise, if you will. But now it gets a little more specific. Now it uses this word singing, and that is a word that refers to vocalized music, singing with the voice. And then the word making melody here is actually a word that it literally means to pluck a stringed instrument. That's the literal root word of the meaning. The root word, to pluck a stringed instrument. But it was used with reference to playing any kind of instrument. Not just a stringed instrument, but any instrument. So when he talks about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, it's simply saying vocalized music and instrumental music ought to be to the Lord. I could never quite understand those churches that some groups have said that any musical instruments are wrong, that they simply just use their voice. But if you come to this verse, it seems to me that it's instructing us that it's very appropriate to have instrumental music. And we certainly see it in the Old Testament, very much instrumental music involved. And so singing with our voice, using instrumental music, is very appropriate for a spirit-filled believer. Notice it does say sing and make melody or vocalized music, instrumental music in your heart. In your heart. Depending on what translation you have, it could say in your heart or with your heart or from your heart. And in a sense, all of that is true. It ought to be music in our heart. We ought to sing with our heart, and it ought to come from our heart. And so all of that's true when we sing and when we praise the Lord with our voices. That music ought to be in our heart. We ought to be singing with our heart. It ought to be coming out from our heart as it comes through our mouth or through our instruments. Singing, making melody in your heart, it ought to be a heart that's filled with the Spirit. Again, keeping it in this context, keeping it with that main verb, that main command, be filled with the Spirit. If we're filled with the Spirit, our heart is filled with the Spirit. Our heart is controlled with the Spirit. And so out of that Spirit-controlled and Spirit-filled heart must come this music from the heart. Sometimes our hearts are filled with bitterness, selfishness, pride. A heart filled with bitterness or selfishness or pride is not going to be one that's going to be singing to the glory of God. It's going to be one that's going to be singing to our own glory. It's going to be one that's going to be singing to our own selfishness. It's ought to be a heart filled with the Spirit singing to the glory of God, not a heart filled with our own selfishness and our own bitterness. Amos chapter 5 says, "Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an overflowing stream." In other words, what God is saying is, I want your heart before I hear your song. I want your heart before I hear your instrument. We ought to be singing from a heart that's filled with the Spirit. And when he says that in Amos chapter 5, he's saying, I don't even want to listen to your music if it's not coming from a heart filled with the Spirit. So we need to be singing among ourselves. We need to be singing with our voices and making instrumental music from our heart, and it's to the Lord. It's to the Lord. He's our audience, isn't he? He's the one we're singing to, and we've mentioned this many times. It's not about what I like, not about my preference, not about my opinion. It's about God. He's my audience. So what does he want? And certainly, as Paul has already declared here, he wants our heart first. That's what he wants. Once he has our heart, then okay, now let's have the music. But it is to the Lord. He's the one that we are singing to. He's the one that we are making music for. And he is the one that ought to be our audience. And he's the one that ought to be our concern as it relates to what does he want. It's not what I want. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. So a heart that's filled with the Spirit is going to be making music that edifies our fellow believers. It's going to be a heart that's filled with the Spirit is one that's going to be singing from that heart, going to be making music with instruments from that heart. It's going to be singing to the Lord and making that music to the Lord. And that Spirit-filled heart is also going to be a heart of thanksgiving, giving thanks always for all things. You know, there's several attitudes when it comes to thanksgiving. Some wrong, some right. There are those who really, they wouldn't say it out loud probably, but their attitude is one that thanksgiving is unnecessary. Thanksgiving is unnecessary. In other words, again, they wouldn't say it out loud, but in reality, in their heart, it's like, I deserve everything I get. Now, if that's our attitude, if we feel like I deserve everything I get, then why should I be thankful for it? I deserve it. We aren't thankful for something we deserve anyway. A thankful heart is one, and we emphasize that this morning in our message, a thankful heart is one who understands I don't deserve anything. Everything I have is a gift from God. Everything I have is by His grace, and that's where a thankful heart's going to come from. If I have an attitude that I deserve everything, then I'm not going to be thankful. You know, I'm reminded of the parable that Christ gave with the rich fool. Had a great year of crops and just had so many crops, he had to build new barns, and then he's just sat back and said, you know, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Basically, he had an attitude. He wasn't thankful for what he had. He had an attitude that I deserved what I got. I got what I got because of my hard work, and I got all these crops, and I deserve a future blessing too. I'm just going to sit back and take it easy, and I'm just going to let it all come in. It was not a thankful heart at all. Thankfulness was unnecessary as far as that rich fool was concerned. And of course, God said, your soul will be required of you this evening. A hypocritical thanksgiving. I'm thinking of the Pharisee. Remember his prayer? I thank you, God, that I'm not like this tax collector. That hypocritical thanksgiving. That self-righteousness. A self-righteous person is not a thankful person. They're lifted up with pride. They're lifted up with their own self-righteousness. And they may express words of thanksgiving. But as they express those words of thanksgiving, they're pumping themselves up. Thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. True thanksgiving is from a heart of humility before God. Again, understanding that we don't deserve anything from Him, but He is the one from whom all gifts come. Remember James chapter 1? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything I have comes from Him, undeservedly. That's the thankful heart that we need to have. Giving thanks always, always, at all times, in every circumstance. You know, it's easy to thank God when the blessings are flowing, isn't it? Everything's going right, everything's just going wonderful, everything's going just as we planned it, and boy, it's easy to give thanks then. It really doesn't take much faith, does it, to thank God in times of blessing. When everything's going very well, when everything's going just as we planned it, when God's doing it just exactly how we want Him to do it, that doesn't take much faith. We can thank God easily then. It takes a little more faith to thank God for future blessings. You know, God has promised blessings. We think of the blessed hope that we have in Christ, that He's coming again, and we thank God for that blessed hope. And that takes a little more faith. But where the real faith comes is when we thank God in the trials, isn't it? When we really don't understand what God is doing or why. When we really don't understand the difficulties that we're going through. When we really don't understand the trial that we're in. When we really don't understand the valley of the shadow of death that we have to go through. that's when it becomes difficult to thank God. But that's when real, true thankfulness and real, true worship comes. You know, not that we can't worship and that it can't be a true thankfulness when times of blessing. It can be, but sometimes it's easy to... Well, let me put it this way. Sometimes we make the mistake that thanking God is automatically worshiping God. Or praising God is automatically worshiping God. But it's not necessarily. It can be. We can worship God as we thank Him. We can worship God as we praise Him. But thanking God isn't necessarily worship. Let me put it this way. If you do something nice to me and I thank you for doing that, am I worshiping you? I hope not. Or if you do something really well, Joan played the organ tonight really well, and we praise her for playing the organ like she does. Are we worshiping her? I hope not. See, we can thank God and we can praise God and not worship Him. Just as we thank people and praise them, and we're not worshiping them. True worship comes from an understanding, first of all, of who God is, to the best of our ability. But sometimes we have to worship God when we don't understand Him. We don't understand what He's doing or why. We just don't understand the trial that we're in. Worship really takes place when we understand that God is just too big to wrap my mind around. And we trust Him anyway. That's when some real worship takes place. When God is just beyond my comprehension, and I don't understand what He's doing, and I don't understand fully why He's doing it, but I trust Him in it anyway. That's when some real worship can take place, and that's in those trials. And that's why the writer of Hebrews talks about the sacrifice of praise. Well, how is praise a sacrifice? You know, sacrifice is something that we give up. We give up something in a sacrifice. Well, what's the sacrifice of praise? What are we giving up when we praise God? Well, sometimes what we're giving up is the necessity to understand. Sometimes, God, I don't understand. But you know what? You didn't create me to understand. You created me to worship. We're not always going to understand. We've got too small a mind to understand an infinite God. We're not always going to understand. But He didn't create us to understand everything about Him and everything He does. He didn't create us for that. He created us to worship Him. And so I sacrifice my understanding. I sacrifice my feelings. I don't always feel like praising God in the midst of my trial. But I sacrifice my feelings and I worship Him. And I do give thanks to Him, even in the trials. A Spirit-filled heart is going to be a thankful heart even in the trial. Lastly, in verse 21, a Spirit-filled heart is going to be one that submits to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another. Humbling ourselves not only before God in thanksgiving, but humbling ourselves before one another. You know, it's really, I mentioned earlier, sometimes people say, well, the battleground of the church is the music. And how sad. How sad. Because right in this context, that one of the greatest passages concerning music, and right in that same context, it talks about submitting to one another. There's a sense in which we need to just humble ourselves before one another. Why should it be a battleground? If we're Spirit-filled, there's going to be a submission, not a fight. Not contention, not strife, but submission to one another. Not one side getting everything they want and one side getting nothing, but a submission and a humility before one another, even in the area of music. And so this Spirit-filled heart, as we are obedient to the command, be filled with the Spirit, we're going to be making music among ourselves for the edification of our fellow believers. We're going to be singing with our voices. We're going to be playing our instruments in the heart, with the heart, and from the heart. And it's going to be to the Lord as He is our audience. We're going to be giving thanks always for all things. Even when we don't understand, we're going to worship Him and give Him the praise. And we're going to submit ourselves to one another. That's what a Spirit-filled heart looks like. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time together tonight. Thank You for Your love for us and Your grace in our behalf. Help us, Father, to be yielded to Your Spirit, to be controlled by Your Spirit, to be drunk with Your Spirit, so that indeed we might make music to Your honor and glory, singing and playing our instruments to You, edifying one another, giving thanks to You even in our trials, always in all things, submitting ourselves to one another. Help us, Father, to have that Spirit-filled heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, as we leave this evening, I pray that as we anticipate this coming week, we would do so with confidence and with assurance that You are with us. Help us to face this week with the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, not leaning on our own understanding, but in all of our ways knowing You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.